Hey, Richard.
Cindy.
I am so glad to be here. It is Monday Night Forever Bluegrass, and I'm just so tickled that you just told me this funny story. And that is a fact, and I want everybody to know that we aren't really crazy here at the radio station, but however, last week I knew I was going to be gone. And I knew that the bands were going to be busy with Thanksgiving. And so we decided we were going to air the Barbaric Yops
We did, yeah.
Show.
That was the
and
plan.
We talked about it, and I promoted it and everything. And by golly, I didn't know until I walked into the studio tonight with Brian Blaylock on my arm that you played Brian's show last week.
Well, this was the first one we did with Brian.
Yeah.
That was back in the spring.
Well, see, it's probably not.
It was fun, too.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. He's so nervous and everything. But anyway, our apologies, folks. It doesn't matter, though. I'm sure it was a great show. But thank you for everybody.
How can you have too much of a good thing, really? Come on
You
now.
Cannot have too much of a good thing. And that's another reason I call it old Brian Blaylock. You know, he can play any instrument. And tonight, we've asked him to join us and bring along that even one more instrument. So he's going to be playing along with the guitar, the banjo, the mandolin, the dobro. So thank you so much once again, Brian, for coming to our rescue and being here with us on Forever Bluegrass Mondays. You got some tunes picked out for us now, buddy, and we are live. This is not you know, weeks ago. Everybody, you know,
this is live as it always is.
Yes, live December the 2nd,
in
my
the
sister's
moment.
Birthday. Happy birthday, Nez. Go ahead,
well,
Brian.
Good.
Yeah.
Try to get you off my mind. I wish you knew how hard I'm trying to sleep at night, since I know that you're no longer mine, since you let another beat my tongue. If only half the things were true you said about my heart, and I would have forgotten you since we've been apart. Said I forced my lips to kiss you when we said goodbye. You even said I forced the tears that came to my eyes. I wish you knew how hard I've tried to tell you, how hard I'm trying to get you off my mind. I wish you knew how hard I've tried to sleep at night, since I know that you're no longer mine, since you've let another beat my tongue. And knowing that you're gone, but in the picture in your mind I'm never all alone. You see me in another's arms just like I've been with you, but the way I cry for you each night I only wish you knew. I wish you knew how hard I've tried to tell you, how hard I've tried to get you off my mind. Sleep tonight, since I know that you're no longer mine, since you've let another be my time.
Mighty fine job there. What you picking? What guitar did you bring with you tonight?
It's just an 81 Herringbone, my baby, one of them.
One of your several.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always heard you can't have too many guitars.
Daddy said you can only play one at a time, but oh well.
Oh, but to have the choice.
Right.
To have the choice, yeah. So did you have a good time this past weekend? You were picking and grinning at Myrtle Beach?
Good way to spend Thanksgiving.
I used to love to go to that festival. which we're talking about the big Myrtle Beach, South Carolina Bluegrass Festival. They have every Thanksgiving.
And I didn't know about that. Oh, okay.
It's what, 40, 50th, how many 50th years? That was their 50th. Wow, their 50th
and this
year.
This is Norman Adams' last show. He's bowing out.
He's
85. But, you know.
Norman Adams is this huge bluegrass patoos. He doesn't even realize that he's kind of like my mentor. I've been going to his festival since I was a young girl and just really have admired him. And
yeah, since we were close to the same age and everything.
Yeah, close to the same age. Way down in Dahlonega, Georgia, you know, Norman would go there. And, of course, Cherokee Bluegrass Festival still go there every year. Going to have a big celebration in Cherokee Bluegrass Festival this coming June. Going to be celebrating my big 60th birthday.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You don't look a day over 59.
Thank you,
darling.
It's all
that clean living you've been doing.
I'm so excited. And, of course, you know, bluegrass always excites me. And coming up next week, we're going to go to Bluegrass in the Smokies. Going to travel right up to Pigeon Forge. I've never been.
Or you could come to my birthday party December 14th, day early. But
At? Where's your birthday party, Brian?
Lakeshore Grill.
Okay, girls, this is an invitation to all of you girls. It doesn't matter the age.
Oh, God.
It doesn't matter the age
at all. Now, mind you, my aunts are listening tonight. So.
Brian, his birthday is coming up, and they're going to celebrate Lakeshore Grill. So if you're not going to go with me to Pigeon Forge to see some really wonderful acts up there, I'm super, super excited. Then you can go and see Brian. And something else fun happened that weekend, and I'd already committed to go to Bluegrass in the Smokies, but there's an organization called SEBA, and that's Southeastern Bluegrass Music Association. And they have, in the past, nominated and elected me Promoter of the Year one time. But this year, our festival is going to be getting a Venue of the Year. And
cool,
I'm
man.
So excited about it, and I can't thank those folks
well
enough.
Deserved. Well
yeah,
deserved.
And it's yeah. a beautiful yeah. venue down there for sure. So you want to go in my place, Richard? Because I'm going to be listening to Junior Sisk and Danny Paisley. I mean,
what more do you want?
I don't want a whole lot more than that. You
Too
know,
bad the Crow Brothers aren't there, but oh well.
Well, we'll work on getting the Crow Brothers there, Brian. We will. And of course, anytime you get the opportunity to go and hear some good bluegrass music, you need to do yourself a big old favor and just go right on out that door and listen to some great music. And Brian's going to pick a few more songs, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about bluegrass music.
Okie dokie.
Son, you ought to quit so rambling all around and marry you a sweet loving wife. There's more pretty girls than one. More pretty girls than one. Any old town that I've rambled all around. There's more pretty girls than one. Down that long, lonesome road, hang down your pretty head and cry. Cause I'm a thinking all about them pretty little gals, hoping that I'll never die. There's more pretty girls than one. More pretty girls than one. Any old town. Thank you.
That was beautiful, Brian. You make it look so easy. So easy. What? How old were you when you very first played?
Six.
What was that?
I've got 10 pictures at the house. I think the first time I was at Lake Wimpasoka. Then we went, me and Dad and Uncle Ralph, Brother Grant, my cousin Edward, Doug Duff, went to World's Fair in June, July of 82. So I was 6 and a half when we played the World's Fair.
I remember stories about that. You know, James was there at the World's Fair. He, you know, James is an, oh, I better not say the A word, but he's an artist. And so he was at the World's Fair, and but I think you were next to the moonshine guy, right?
Amper McBee.
I heard stories.
Yes.
Didn't matter that he was six.
Right.
Just teasing. Mm-hmm. Brian, you know, you're just really, really incredibly talented. And I was just wondering, are you are you doing lessons now?
If the opportunity
presented himself.
Right.
So folks, if you want to have a guitar lesson, learn to play guitar like the famous Brian Blaylock.
Almost famous. That's
almost
why I've
famous.
Got that sticker on my truck.
Almost famous, Brian Blaylock. He'll be so happy to teach you. And, of course, he comes from a long line of musicians. His dad was was Clyde Blaylock, who taught just thousands of people here in Chattanooga. There's not a musician around this area.
I'm still hearing stories.
That doesn't
He'll be
have
gone
a nice story.
10 years in May, and I'm still...
Keeps you connected, though. I love to hear daddy stories.
Right.
Know? Like, oh, he's like, they're still with you. That's a wonderful thing about music, Richard. You know, it's something that you can keep on, you can keep with you forever. And it's interesting that there's a song called If I Could Come Back as Anything, I Would Come Back as a Song. And Charlie Wall and the Country Gentlemen did. It's a great song. But after my dad passed, we had some 8-track tapes. And we didn't, and they weren't labeled, and we didn't know what they were on and on them. And so we put them in, and he didn't sing a whole lot. He always played bass, but he didn't
he
sing.
He played on my first cassette when I was 12 because Edward broke his finger
Edward
at Goodell's,
finger.
Goodell's garage.
But anyway, so we didn't know what was on this tape, and Daddy didn't sing a whole lot. And we put it in, and there he was, you know, singing a really big part in a song. And it was like he was still with us. So we did keep him through song and through the music, and that is a good thing. And I'm grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Brian, you got some more songs picked out for us.
Oh, yeah. After I posted on Facebook this morning, I was going to be over here. I had a lady mess me when I got home from work from Marshall Mize Ford, hint, hint. If I knew any Stanley brothers, and since yesterday was the untimely death of Carter Stanley, he passed away December 1st of 1966.
How was it?
I think 41 or 42.
Yeah, he was very young.
Unfortunately, but one of the great lead singers and songwriters of bluegrass. So I had a lady ask me if I knew any Stanleys. And I said, well, yeah, I just happen to might do one for you. It's entitled Your Selfish Heart. Through these lonely years.
Sounds like you've played that one a time or two, Brian.
It's one of my favorites, Carters.
I do love the Carters. What Stanley. About you, Richard?
Are you asking me if I like the Carter family?
No, Carter Stanley.
Carter Stanley.
Carter Stanley, excuse me.
Ralph and Carter Stanley.
I know Ralph. I don't know. I really don't know Carter very much.
He was a.
I came late to Ralph too, yeah. to be honest.
They were really true pioneers in the music. You know, they.
Well, Carter played with Monroe, like in the early 50s. I remember Fletcher Bright saying he saw Carter and when he was playing with Monroe in the early 50s. Mm. And of course, I'm sure Bill was sort of a. Had a chip on his shoulder since Flat Scruggs left. He said, Carter Stanley's the best lead singer I've ever had.
Well, he really was one of his better lead singers.
He was one of my...
You ever heard the song Peter Rowan has out now about Carter Stanley?
He was one of the best, to me, my humble opinion, one of the best songwriters that ever lived. And unfortunately, passed away at a young age.
What was it? He wasn't.
He died of his alcoholism.
Oh, I knew that he was in the hospital, and I
It was. It's. I think he was 41 or 42 when he passed December 1st of '66.
That is so sad. You know, that happens to so many of them. You know, life on the road is not all bells and whistles. You know, it's hard, especially back then. Those folks, if they played on the Opry, Peter Owen was telling me this, they would play and drive like thousands of miles, but had to be right back at that Opry every Saturday night, no matter where they came. And they rode in cars with the bass fiddles tied on the tops and all smashed in there, and there weren't very many roadside restaurants and things like that. I'm sure it was a really, really tough way to live.
Well, when I played with Larry Stevenson, this was 20 years ago, we played Cherokee, North Carolina on a Friday at 3:30 Saturday afternoon. We were in Sydney, Maine. I said, who in the four-letter word put this?
Well, no, but you had a driver, though.
No, me and Mickey Harris and Larry.
Oh, my gosh, you're kidding me. Wow, that is a long
drive. That's a long drive. That was way over 1,000 miles.
I said, who booked this?
Oh, well.
You made it. That's the important thing.
And now you have the story to tell. And,
I need to get a diary and write everything down. They'd classify it as fiction because nobody would believe it.
So. I bet you do have a lot of fun stories. Musicians,
some of them I can't tell on the radio.
because you said your aunts are listening, so you better behave.
Yeah, Aunt Cookie and Aunt Pat.
Aunt Cookie, Aunt Pat, you call me. I'll fill you in. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Of course, this is Sydney Pinion on Forever Bluegrass Monday nights. We're here along with Richard Winham. We're here every Monday night, 7 to 8. I'm just tickled to death that WUTC loves bluegrass music, and you can tune in on Sunday afternoon 2 to 3 as well as Thursday afternoon 2 to 3. And speaking of Thursday, we're going to be at the Feed Company Table and Tavern this coming Thursday, the new time, 7 to 9. So we're going to have Owen and M, and then the following week we're going to be at the, in addition to the Feed Company, we're going to be going back to the Whole Food Market, and the second Thursday of the month, going to have the Fiddle Kid Band there. I'm super stoked about that, and we're going to have them here on the Monday before that, Richard. I'm going to have a lot of youngsters in here.
Oh, that'd be great.
I'm excited about it. So I'm always excited to see the banjo out. Tell us a little bit about that banjo there.
One of my ex-girlfriends said, you've got ADHD. No, I don't. I've got Verizon, Comcast, and AT&T. One of my heroes, of course, Cindy knows him, Bill Emerson, the original banjo player for the Country Gentlemen, worked with Jimmy Martin, went back to Country Gentlemen, retired Navy officer in the bluegrass band Country Current. So they finally inducted him in the IBMA Hall of Fame, which is way overdue, because Bill Emerson was just... So when he was working with Jimmy Martin, he said, Big E, if you ever start your own band, you need to call it Sweet Dixie. So it's one that he cut with Jimmy Martin. So... to my hero, Bill Emerson.
It doesn't exactly mute it, but it makes it softer, doesn't it? It's not as tight as it would be with the capo, right?
And like, I mean, he never used a capo. He never did. And he was...
So it makes the banjo sound more like a guitar.
No, he was a great guitar player. And, of course, you know, Earl would be like...
And that's the sound of the banjo as most people know it, I think.
Right, Earl, that's one of your...
That's amazing. I never really thought about that, but he was that dominant on the instrument that he basically established the style that everybody else plays.
The first three-finger banjo player that went to work with Monroe in December of 45, the string
banjo. And changed the sound of the music by himself,
word.
Along with Lester.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, they didn't speak till after Lester and Earl broke up. Then Monroe finally got over his mad spell and started talking.
Those musicians, they'll hold a grudge.
As Jimmy Martin said, there's two things wrong with musicians, jealousy and stupidity, which Siri don't know what stupidity means, but I agree with it.
Well, I often wonder how musicians can even function in normal life. You know what I mean? Because I am not a musician, but there's nobody loves it better than I do. But to have all those millions of notes in your head, all those different songs, all those different words, and still be able I just don't understand. It's just amazing to me, just the knowledge that's got to be up there. You know, I mean... You watch Laura Walker, that leg's going all the time. She said there's music playing in her head all of the time. So I can
relate to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, now my one man band's got his mandolin out.
Like, what next?
Yeah, that's it. Of course, I'm talking about Brian Blaylock. That's a beautiful mandolin, Brian. What kind is that? It's a Gibson.
It's a Doyle Lawson model Gibson I bought from Danny Roberts.
It's beautiful. I love the inlay on it. Yeah, Danny Roberts, of course, I've known him for a long time, playing with the Grascals. I saw a picture of those boys picking the other day. And speaking of boys picking, you know, Richard, you know who Third Time Out is?
Mm-hmm.
Third Time Out, one of our favorite bands. They've been a highlight at our festival many, many years. Of course, I'm speaking of the Boxcar Pinion Memorial Bluegrass Festival coming up the first weekend in May. And this coming May is going to be year 30, and I'm just thrilled to death. We've got a huge lineup. You're just not going to believe who all we're going to have there. And then we will be having Third Time Out. But I mentioned them because they're going to be in Fort Payne, Alabama. They've been going down to the DeKalb Theater there for about 20 years, I suppose, and playing a great show. It's a beautiful little venue at the theater. They've refurbished it, and Bent Creek opens up for them. And that is coming up January the 25th. They and Eric McKinney in Fort Payne always does a great job. So mark your calendars, folks, and go and see Third Time Out. You'll be glad you did. Russell Moore has won Male Vocalist of the Year probably more than anybody in bluegrass.
Well deserved.
Yeah, well deserved. Exactly right. You know, I have a picture of him. I don't know if Doyle Lawson's going to be listening to this or not, but but Doyle, sorry about this little side story, but one time Russell Moore and Ray Deaton were to leave Doyle Lawson's house in Virginia and drive down the coast and go to Georgia and work on the bus or clean it up or something. And all I know is they got a hankering to come see my daddy. And here we live on this little tiny rural route, and this giant big bus comes pulling in the driveway. I have the cutest picture of them sitting there. Mama made homemade biscuits, and we had breakfast, and they're in their T-shirts eating breakfast. And it was always a big joke about how they snuck off in Doyle Lawson's bus. So, Doyle, my apologies. But it was a big highlight of my dad's life, and I appreciate it. And I, you know, we were good friends with Doyle as well, so I feel sure he wouldn't have been too upset with him at all. Maybe probably even come down with him. But, yeah. Anyways, Brian, what you going to play for us, babe?
It's Melissa's Waltz. I've got the album. I think Monroe cut it in 81, 82. It's got Jesse McReynolds on it. So, anyway, for his... Bill's daughter, Melissa.
Mm-hmm.
Good job. You know, a couple of weeks ago, the bass player, Ed Blaylock, that's mm-hmm. his dad and Brian's dad were brothers.
And his mom and my mom were.
And his mom.
So we're double cousins.
Yeah, yeah, double cousins.
You try to explain that to somebody that went to Saudi High School and like, what? Let me draw you a map.
Well, I thought it was pretty cool. Keeping it in the family.
Right.
Because Brian was talking about how when he was recorded his tape, it was a cassette tape back then, his cousin Brian, Edward always played bass. And Edward was a mechanic and had broke his fingers. That's why I tell all you musicians, do not do mechanical work. Yeah, but and so he was unable to do the recording. And so my dad actually played bass on that recording. And he was proud
12.
To do it. He used to tease Brian all the time. Because Brian was just kind of a little shy
nerd.
Kid. And he wasn't a nerd. He was just a cute little kid.
Yes, I was. I've got the pictures. Even my
Daddy
high school
would kick
pictures.
On him. Daddy's like, come here, Brian. He said, let's go fishing. And Brian's like, okay. And he said, I'm going to use
at
you for
color,
bait.
At the color cruise.
He's gonna
I
use,
remember that.
That's right. He's going to use Brian for bait because he was little and it was cute. But the color cruise, those were good days, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Back in the color cruise days, we'd go down there every weekend. They'd have a contest and we'd camp out and there'd be arts and crafts. It was quite the to-do. I think they tried to start that again. I'm not sure.
It's been over 30 years since I've been down there.
That's the iconic picture. You know, the Forever Bluegrass bumper sticker?
Mm-hmm.
My dad and was playing bass, backing up Mike Castleberry and some other folks. I think they had a contest there. And Dad's playing the bass, and that was taken from an actual photograph down at Hell's Bar Marina when they had it. At Hell's Bar Marine in about 75 or 76, I think, something like that.
I wouldn't remember that far back.
Oh, yes. You probably remember exactly what time it was and what date and everything.
Not that early.
So, Richard, you know that Brian plays banjo well, and you've heard him play mandolin, you've heard him play guitar, but you haven't got to hear him play the dobro.
No, and I didn't even realize that Brian played dobro until I looked at his business card and it said, dobro player. I'm like, oh, man, we need to ask Brian to bring his dobro. And he did.
And deliver parts for Marshall Myers Ford and cut hair, you know.
He's a jack of all trades.
And master of none.
And master of none. No, that's not so. You're master.
No, it's not true. It's not
master
true.
Of all these bluegrass instruments laying here. And I know you happen to even play a little electric guitar, God
yes.
forbid. But he's
Don,
really good at that.
Don Rich is my hero.
Yeah, I like a good electric guitar, actually. Mm-hmm. But what tune are you going to play on that dobro for us, Brian?
Well, since you sprung it on me.
That's Richard's fault.
I'm trying to think. Anyway. I'll send this one out to my Aunt Pat and Aunt Cookie. How great they are.
Thank you.
That was beautiful, Brian.
Thanks.
Don't take your little things off. What are you doing? You're going to have to play
swap instruments.
Don't you want to play another one? You got you all set up there and everything. We sprung it on you. You might as well just play the heck out of it. You know, you got Brian the job of playing the dobro with the Country Gentleman, one of his first big gigs. And,
May of 96.
Yeah, yeah, it was. And we were right there. What time was it?
I don't know. It was the second set. I've slept since then. I had hair back then, too.
It was a very exciting day for all of us, Richard. We were there at our Bluegrass Festival up at Camp Columbus. And, of course, we're really good friends with Charlie Waller and the Country Gentleman. Loved him to death. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt, if he got just one opportunity to hear Brian play, that he was going to really love him. And we've got pictures of Brian standing there. He's all nervous. Can you imagine? He was nervous as could be. But he did a fine job, and they hired him, and he got to go on the road with them. Went to Japan once, didn't you?
October of 96.
Yeah, nice. Well, I'm awfully proud of you, Brian. You've done a great job with all these bands that you've been with. And local boy, he's just... It's like, just awesome.
Well, like Josh Crow said, I can't keep a job or a girlfriend, so hopefully maybe 2020 will be better.
Well.
At least Kyle Busch won the Winston Cup, so I'm happier.
Okay, well, it was just a left turn. I mean, they just turned left.
I know.
How hard is that? No, I'm joking. What song are you going to play
now?
I
work at Marshall Mines before I drive to Tacoma, so anyway, you know.
Okay.
Anyway. I'll do What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
And right now, I mean this coming Thursday, as in every Thursday, 7 to 9, join me along with all some great bluegrass musicians there at the Feed Company Table and Tavern right there on Main Street. Great food. We've been there almost 5 years now. I'm so thrilled that the Feed Company loves us so much. And, of course, the second and third Thursday of each month with the Whole Food Grocery Store right over there on Manufacturers Road. Shop, get you groceries, get you a good beverage, and come on upstairs. Going to have slow time with us next week. And August Bruce has got this really cool little fiddle band full of kids. They are great.
And you've been doing that for a while too, right?
Yes.
The Whole Foods.
Whole Foods. We've actually been in Whole Foods longer than we have the Feed Company.
I thought so, yeah. And you're back at Wonderlinger again in
January? The Wonderlinger. We're going to start the Wanderlinger Brewing Company on Friday nights. Tuesday nights was just a hard sell. We gave it our best shot, but we
got wrestling coming on Tuesday nights.
Well, I know. I don't know when all my bluegrass friends got so old and everything, but we're going to be there on Friday nights, friends, starting in January, and I'm really excited about Wanderlinger. They want bluegrass there so bad they can't stand it, and we appreciate Mike Dial and all that bunch for not giving up on us, and we're going to be back there, of course, in January.
They're not going to give up on you.
Oh, no, no. And in January, we're going to go over to DeKalb Theater and hear Third Time Out, and then, of course, mark your calendars for that first 30th annual Botts Carpenia Memorial Bluegrass Festival coming right on up in the springtime in May at the beautiful Mountain Cove Farms. And down there in the Cove, we also go the last Saturday of each month at the Pigeon Mountain Grill. Had a great time. Had the best pan-seared trout this past Saturday down there. People are amazed at the menu. I even posted. Have you seen it? The menu?
No.
They have lamb and trout, and I mean, you're right in the middle of the woods, it seems like, and they have all their food is fresh from around the farms there, their gardens. The people just bring in
salads.
I still
want to do some quail hunting down there. I've seen that field. I'm thinking, oh, yes.
I think you can. You know, that's some kind of a big hunting thing. They quail and deer and all kinds of. They have quail on the menu, as a matter of fact. So there's all these things are special. Specials and not always regular, all the special things. But we thank Tony for also loving bluegrass music and just can't wait to see everybody out on the bluegrass trail. So what about it, Brian? How about a few more songs for us?
Okie dokie.
You have extras.
I do.
But if not, as you know, did you ever
time
hear,
is passing.
Frank McDonald with the Dismembered Tennesseans? He was so cute about how during the show, if something were to happen to someone there on the stage, one of the band members, God forbid, you know, if he were called home, all they had to do was turn around and Brian could pick up any of the instruments there and the show would go on and no one would be disturbed, of course, except the newly departed. But it was just the funniest.
He was, I remember Fletcher telling me
so
that first
funny.
Time. I was like, Fletcher, you might not want to do that.
Yes, we miss old Fletcher Bright, but I hear their company still supports the station and we appreciate
it. Oh, they do, yeah.
The Fletcher Bright Company. Supports the station, supports bluegrass music.
Oh, they do a lot for music. Three Sisters Alone.
Three Sisters, Nightfall, you name it. They're so helpful, and we love them.
He's been involved with Bruce, I think, too, over at Barking Legs, isn't he?
Yes.
Isn't George still doing that? I think so.
They're partners in a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we'll have Eleanor, George Bright's daughter, Fletcher's granddaughter, back before very long. And
That'd be cool.
She and Laura are going to maybe play the Whole Food Market before me. I think they're going to work up some tunes. Their musicians crack me up. They only know about a million songs, each and every one of them. And she's like, well, I don't know if we know enough songs yet. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
That's so, like me right now. I'm like, what's next?
Can't think of a song. You only know 2 million. You only know 2 million
right.
songs. So, well, it doesn't matter. Brian, just surprise us. We are awfully glad that you've joined us. Of course, I'm talking about Brian Blaylock. Young ladies, the guy is single. All you musicians wannabes, he'll be more than happy with lessons. And you can go and see him on his birthday coming up December the 14th there at Lakeshore
Grill.
Lakeshore Grill, which I think you get to play there too on occasion, don't you?
Be me and Josh Hickson, John Boulware, James Key, and John Marcus. So it's going to be the four J's and the B.
I'm going to be so sad that I'm going to miss that.
I'm
that
sure
is going to
be on
awesome.
Facebook for it. And that's over with.
Wow, that will be a lot of fun. That's a lot of talent you just named off there.
All right, here's a Don Reno number called Since I Broke a String. I figured I'd do this one called Choking the Strings.
Nicely done, Brian. Nicely done. I'm surely out of the other million tunes, you can come up with another one for me.
So you got me curious, Brian. Why is it that Don Reno didn't use a capo?
Of course, he passed away in October of 84. I never got to meet him, but I've heard stories about, you know, Del McCurry's sons played with when Reno and Harold was together, and he just never used a capo.
Never started, so he just never thought about it.
No. That's when I remember when my parents had the music store. The house I live in on Gold Point, I come home and I watch Bugs Bunny, and Mom had a big record console player, so I would pop in Don Reno Fastest Five String Alive album, and this is one he cut called When You and I Were Young Maggie.
Thank you.
magical, Brian. Your fingers, they're just magical. How many minutes we got left there? Just 1 minute. So I'm going to tell everybody we're here every Monday night for Forever Bluegrass Monday, 7 to 8. Be sure and tell all your friends and neighbors. Richard, thank you so much.
Thank you, Cindy. It's always fun.
It is always fun. So, y'all, this is Brian Blaylock. We're going to take it on out of here with whatever tune he wants to pick.
All right, sweet bunch of daisies. Without the capo.